Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And we are scripturalist, which means we follow the scriptures, we believe the word of God, and that gives us the understanding because as we love God and serve him and keep his commandments, then he gives us understanding. And it's kind of an automatic thing. It's like the law of gravity. It always works, whether for good or whether for bad. It's good because it holds us on the earth. It's bad when we fall and hurt ourselves, right? Especially if you jump out of an airplane without a parachute. That's very fatal. So likewise, we need to understand that we are temporary. We are physical. And yet somehow, because God has put in our minds, as it says in Ecclesiastes 3, he's put eternity in our minds. So we think beyond our bodies, we think beyond ourselves, we can think clear to the past, we can think about the present, we can project and think into the future, and all of those things we can use with our mind. But you see, there's one thing that happens to every one of us. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And time and chance happens to everyone. And no human being has been able yet to save himself from death. So the question is, have you been saved? And what does that mean? Does that mean, as many people believe, once you've been saved, you're always saved, and you cannot, under any circumstances, lose salvation? Is that true? Let's think about it for a minute here. The Bible talks about the unpardonable sin, the sin that shall not be forgiven, which is called a sin unto death, that is, eternal death, from which there's no resurrection. But why does man need to be saved? Well, because of human nature. What is human nature? Well, that came because Adam and Eve rejected God's direction and they chose to decide for themselves what was good and evil. And in doing that, they turned themselves over to Satan, the devil, instead of God. And now, after all the thousands of years from Adam and Eve down to now, we read in the book of Revelation that there is a spirit being who is called Satan the devil. So let's go to Revelation 12. Let's read it, because this is the first place to begin to understand why you need salvation and how you can be saved and what does it mean to be saved, and especially from the point of view that if you've been once saved, are you always saved? What do you need to be saved from? Well, there are three things you need to be saved from. Number one, Satan the devil. Number two, sin, for sin is transgression of the law, and the wages of sin is death. And number three, you need to be saved from yourself. Now, strange as that may seem, you need to be saved from yourself because, you see, without the Spirit of God, you're dangerous to yourself. Look at how many stupid and silly things and sinful things that people do, and they die because of what they do. And very few people seem to realize and understand the present circumstances of the world. And today they are more severe than ever before. Well, Revelation 12 and verse 9 tells us why. The great dragon was cast out, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. The whole world. The whole world is deceived by Satan the devil. Now think about it for a minute. Ask yourself this question. Why are there so many lies? You find lies in politics, in education, in economics, in our personal lives. And we find that human nature is deceitful above all things. Question. When was the last time you lied to yourself? And what is it that you really believe? Could you believe some of the lies that Satan the devil has used to deceive the whole world? And how easy is that done? And how does that happen? So let's talk first about Satan the devil. Let's see what he's done to the whole world. And let's see, because of that, it's very difficult to come out from underneath it unless there is a Savior. And who is that Savior? The Savior is Jesus Christ. Now let's come here to Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Let's see that living a normal life in this world, there are varying degrees of evil, varying combinations of good and evil. There's very horrible demonic evil, that is true. And then there is the goodness of men. But always remember this. Not all good comes from God. Because what was the tree that Adam and Eve ate of, and it's the tree that we've all been eating of since then, it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So not all of that which appears to be good comes from God. Because there are a lot of things that appear to be good but are not. And that hasn't come from God. Now here we are in the world. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about everything that is around you. I want you to think about how you grew up, where you went to school, or if you're still young and going to school, what are you doing? Where are you learning? What are they teaching you? How are you responding to it? I want you to think about your family. I want you to think about all the practices that they do. I want you to think about all the holidays that you keep. And we'll talk about the holidays. And we'll find that, you know, one of the slickest lies that has ever been perpetrated on the almost entire human race happens every year in December. I want you to think about that. We'll get to that later. We'll explain that on another video cast here. But here's the state of humanity today. As John said, the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. So here in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Now you were dead in trespasses and sins." Think about this for a minute. If you live a life that is of sin, you are as good as dead, because the wages of sin is death. You are, in fact, spiritually dead, because you don't know where you're going, and you don't know what you are doing. And you don't know how you got to where you are when you really sit down and think about it. And if you have troubles and difficulties, it's awfully hard to get yourself out of it, isn't it? Why is that? Well, because the only solution is found in the Bible. It's not found in ourselves. "Now you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience." Where does all sin come from? Satan, the devil. It's part of the world. You are born, you grow up in the world, and you're taught this, and you're taught that, and you're taught the other thing. And in some societies, they never have access to the Word of God to understand the truth. Think of that. What is it that you believe? Now, if you're a church-going person, what church do you go to? What do they observe? What do they tell you? What do they teach you? Do they teach you salvation through Jesus Christ? And how is that taught? Is it a true salvation or is it a false salvation? Now, there are many false salvations, because we have found when we have gone through the series on how the Christian world has been deceived, that many come in Jesus' name saying that he is the Christ. And many even perform miracles. And at the judgment day, Jesus said they're going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, oh, we've done many wonderful works. We've done this in your name. We've done that in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. And Jesus is not going to say, oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, blessed are you. No, he's going to say, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. I don't even know you. So you see, not everything that is supposedly Christian and not everything that is supposedly good in Christianity is necessarily from God. Because how many people steal from God to make things look good? Need to ask that question too. Course of this world. Notice how we are to look at this world if we are converted. Let's come here to 1 John, the second chapter. Let's see what we're commanded to do. And there are many things in the world. There are a lot of things that happen, that take place, and people are part of it, and they go along with the world. And if you're doing that, that's part of the course of the world, and you're wrapped up in the deception and sins of Satan, the devil, and the society around you. Oh, how could that be? I come from a good and upstanding family. Well, that may be, but what is good and what is upstanding? All right, we'll find out as we go through this. Now, God can love the world, and he did give his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him or on him or into him is the actual Greek. It's a moving faith. From you to Christ and Christ back to you, okay? Whoever is believing in him may not perish. That's conditional. But may have everlasting life. That is conditional. And to receive everlasting life is salvation. Now, as far as human beings are concerned, we can't love the world like God does. We have to love God the way he wants us to. And part of loving God is to hate the things that are of the world and that are in the world that are contrary to the word of God. So this is why John writes in 1 John 2 and verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. I want you to think, as I read this, about all the advertisements you see on television, you see on the billboard, you see in magazines. What is it all about? The physical things. Women to make them beautiful, men to make them strong, and, you know, all of these tremendous things you see. Young people to teach them. And how are your kids educated? How much of the prince of the power of the air has gotten already into your little children's minds as part of the world? You may be really surprised. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, because you love God the Father more than anything else that there is, more than your own flesh and blood, more than your own father and mother, more than your own children, more than your life, more than your job. Because Jesus said, unless you do, you cannot be saved. He also says that he who loved father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Think about that. What do you love and cherish? Do you love the world? God says, don't love it. Verse 16, because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pretentious pride of physical life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And who is deceiving the whole world? And who likes to come along and make all of these things pleasant? Make them fun, make them exciting. Satan does. Make them funny. Make you have a wonderful time. As long as you are deceived, Satan is pleased. As long as you follow the lust of your own flesh, the lust of your own eyes, and you are part of the world, you're deceived. Oh, but I'm a good person and God knows my heart. Yeah, God does know your heart. What does God say concerning the human heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God tries the heart. God tries the reins. You know, some people don't even know why they do what they do. Hey, they're certainly not following God. Now, here's the reason here. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Mark that down. The one who does the will of God. Because if you are not doing the will of God, you are doing the will of Satan the devil. Now, Jesus made that very clear when he was talking to those who came at the temple to hear him speak. Imagine those that actually believed in Jesus, but they didn't believe enough. Oh, they wanted to be with him and see him, see the miracles that were done. They wanted to hear his teachings, but they didn't want to do them. Notice what Jesus said here, John 8 and verse 30. This is amazing. Because there are a lot of people say, oh, I believe in the Lord. Oh, I'm a Christian. Are you really? Do you follow the Bible definition of what a Christian is by your action, deeds, and words and thoughts? Notice these people thought they believed in Jesus. Verse 30, John 8. And as he spoke these things, many believed in him. Therefore, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, to say you believe in Jesus is not enough. James said, if you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what is it that you really believe? And if you're religious and go to church, why do you go to church and what do you really believe? And do you study your Bible? And do you really live it? See, this is why church at home, because the churches are failing people on a mass scale. 76 million people are now considered dropouts from the conventional churches because they're sick and tired of the drivel and the costless Christianity that is being preached, which are nothing but a pack of lies, on days that are not God's days, and they've had enough. So here in church at home, we do what God wants us to do. We teach you the Word of God. We explain to you about the Bible, because in order for you to become a true Christian, you have got to know what God says. Because there's so many counterfeits out there. There's so many deceitful things. And some of them sound so good and clever and so, oh, close to being right. And we will see the things that divide. Because the truth of God divides and cuts asunder from all of the deception, from all of the conspiracies that are out against mankind. And there are many of them active and alive and doing well. Now notice, he says, if you continue in my word, that is all the words of Christ, his whole message, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now think of that. Do you think you're free? Now you have free choice, but does that mean you're free? Are you in the grips and the palms of Satan the devil and the deception of this world into things that look really good and alluring and right? Now, they've actually crafted sports and sports paraphernalia in such a way that they grasp a hold of the of what human beings like to do. They like to identify with heroes. They like to identify with something that they can think on and work on and be part of. So they have all their sports paraphernalia, and you know what? It's fun. It's exciting. They cheer for their teams. They love their team. They hate their enemies. And boy, this is great. But do they love God with the same intensity? Or is that their idol? What is your idol? What do you need to be saved from? Isn't that interesting here? So they said, hey, we'd never been in bondage to anyone. Yes, they were to the Romans, but notice what Jesus said in verse 34. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin. Do you practice sin or do you practice righteousness? Do you know what sin is? Do you know what righteousness is? Sin is the transgression of the law and lawlessness. Righteousness is loving God and keeping His commandments. And that's why Protestantism is losing so much, because they preach a hollow Jesus, an empty gospel, and a lawless philosophy where the laws have been done away. Jesus wants you to keep it from the heart. What spirit is working in you, the spirit of disobedience or the spirit of love and righteousness from God? What leads your life? Now notice, for those who are converted, he says, among whom we also all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Isn't that something? Doing what comes naturally in the world makes you a child of wrath. Now why? Why? Have you ever wondered why? Let's come back here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and let's read what happens. There is a thing, there is a way, there is a method whereby Satan the devil has you in his grasp. And you can see and understand what that grasp is, and you can be saved from it through Christ, who is our Savior. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Because Satan the devil, and there's coming a great world power leader who will have the inner workings of Satan within him. He will come with all power and signs and lying wonders, verse 10 now, 2 Thessalonians 2, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It's going to look good. It's going to sound good. It's going to be absolutely amazing and breathtaking. And the works and the miracles and things that are done are going to be undeniable. So how are you going to be able to understand what's going on and let Jesus Christ save you from that? Because it's coming. It is coming. The prophecies are true and are going to take place. So have you been saved? And then we'll also answer the question, once saved, are you always saved? Notice, all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is the truth? Do you know what the truth is? If everyone's been deceived in lies, what is the truth? Jesus said, your word is the truth. The Psalm says, your law is the truth. Your commandments are the truth. Your word is truth. Your precepts are true. Every one of your precepts, O God, are true from the beginning. Are not the words of God true? Are not the words of Christ true? What did Jesus say of himself as he told his disciples on the Passover night? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, because God's way is a way of life. And it is the truth, and it's based on the truth of God, and Christ is truth personified. Do you know that God cannot lie? It is impossible for God to lie. And yet people will not believe his word. They don't have a love for the truth, so that they might be saved. Now, you can't be saved unless you love the truth, which begins with God the Father, Jesus Christ, his word, his laws, his commandments, his precepts, the gospel. And then you have to add to all of that loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. Now think about those things when we ask the question, have you been saved? And once saved, are you always saved? And we're going to see how you are saved. Because you have to be saved from Satan the devil, who's the god of this world, from your own sins and your own self. So once again, let me remind you, please go to our other website, cbcg.org, and I want you to get the series that we have, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping. This you need so you can understand what is the truth you need to love. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And so until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.